Hey everyone, Tara with The Witch's Muse here, where we explore stories beneath the surface, the many facets of being human. When I first started this podcast, I really had no idea what I was doing. I don't have a background in audio or recording, and really it came down to understanding deeper the way of being in relationship, the way of being curious, and the way of really tending and practicing deep listening. Getting to witness the work of other folks here on the podcast over season one has been a true privilege and a deep gift. And for that, I'm ever grateful. For all the guests that I had on the show, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for showing up, for offering your work, your time, and your energy to this space. I wanted to just take a little bit of time and offer just a little bit of writing I did in the way beginning. I've kind of curated and crafted a ton of notebooks that have different free writings and notes about edits and all of these kind of containers of information. And I just feel really grateful for these notebooks because they're little kind of talismans of time. They explore kind of my experience throughout this kind of non-linear way of producing a podcast. So I'm going to share some of that free writing here now. I'm an edge watcher. An edge watcher, walker, change maker, a dream weaver, and a witch. I long for a culture of deep listening and equity. Not just for the word or the phrase or the way it comes off the tongue, but for embodied sense of self and collective liberation. It was through this work I do in the world, through my podcast, my tarot work, and my dream tending, as I try to serve as a soul who continues to guide themselves home. I continue to work with a life infused with meaning, and I found my way through failure and walking to that edge of vulnerability. Becoming vulnerable and leaning in to the earth, to the animate way, and the inner connected ecology of myself, I've realized that I live to bring the mystery as primary to my way of knowing. The not needing to be right, the not needing to convince others they're wrong, the not need to overtake, dominate, or assume power. Power living and breathing within, coming direct from source and spirit. I wish to have a space to share stories of people who long to be into their deepest gifts while tracking their edge, their shadow, the parts of themselves that sometimes don't see, the fragmented parts of light. And not to live in duality between light and dark, as both hold such beauty and depth, but to know that some of our parts aren't meant to be shared, that some of our parts are too afraid to be seen, and that often we don't get the chance to share and see our full selves. And I feel just within the free ride of that it just kind of ebb and flowed of just what the podcast began as and now what it's become, and still coming back to the origin story of why I decided to start the podcast and have season one and now going into season two. And it just feels so important to continue the conversation, to continue having folks that want to talk about their work and feel supported in a space to do so, and amplifying voices of Black and Brown, Indigenous, Native folks, folks of color, Asian American diaspora folks, really focusing on highlighting voices that are doing amazing work and that are centering and supporting work that matters. And it's not a comparison, and it's not the call out of what does and doesn't matter. It's also the call in of accountability of what is and isn't shared, and what is and isn't celebrated, and what is and isn't put in a way of amplification, joy, and deep pleasure. I want to really speak to this importance of moving the veil, moving the fog that casts over us, the monotony, the routine, the have to and the shoulds and the coulds and the woulds. And I want to speak deeply to just a small excerpt or little blip that I have got from Toni Morrison and their kind of compilation of essays, speeches, and meditations called The Source of Self-Regard. And within this, they also quote Zora Neale Hurston, and it just explains a lot of how collective memory, how shared story, how conversations of sharing stories and being witnessed and being seen and doing it in this way of sharing through a podcast is this kind of way of traditional story sharing that lives through in a different time, space, and time continuum. So it's from the chapter God's Language. Goes, moving that veil aside requires certain things. First of all, I must trust my own recollections. I must also depend on the recollections of others. Thus, memory weighs heavily in what I write, in how I begin, and what I find to be significant. Zora Neale Hurston said, like the dead seeming cold rocks, I have memory within that came out of the material that went to make me. These memories within are the subsoil of my work. But memories and recollections won't give me total access to the unwritten interior life of these people. Only the act of imagination can help me. I fall deeply in love with the imaginal world more and more. And in a place where wonderment and awe and the ability to believe in what we can't see, I just want to continue to advocate, to witness, and to fight for liminal spaces, for the imagination, and the points of deep mysticism and deep psyche that track through in the spaces we live, in the places we work, in the homes and the hearths we tend to, in the gardens we grow, in the voices that we tend to, in the songs that we sing. I really feel a deep gratitude for liminal space in the imaginal realm. And when I use the imagination or when I say the imagination, it's really can mean whatever comes to you that is this sense of non-rational way of being, something that hasn't been conformed to or taught or expected of or conditioned to believe. It's this essence. It's this core way of being exactly who you are. And I want to continue to foster that on this podcast. And I'm looking forward to season 2 as a way to honor the cunning witness of the craft. And when I mention craft, there's so many words that come up. I looked up craft and again, cunning, those that are committed to a rational state of being. Willing in spirit, in deep relation to ecological connectivity, a deeper understanding, experience, study, and observation. What I found funny, again, was that idea of the craft being a rational state of being. And so I wanted to witness, again, through the guidance of the Tarot and that journey, I was really wanting to explore what it would be like to have these archetypes blended in with a craft, blended in with something that folks had from traditional lineages or from their way or the people or the communities that they grew up in and lived into, whether blood, family, or non, and to, with deep appreciation, share and talk about how they came to celebrate their craft, how they became connected to their craft. Craft also for me is related to maker culture, this idea and this returning and reclamation of making shit with our hands or using things that reside within self to share our gifts. The arts was something that came up for me, which is work that I feel deeply connected to as an art organizer and an art programmer. And I felt that a deeper understanding around these art forms, visual, performing, mixed media, voice. I could go on. Visual, digital, traditional, ceremonial. So there was just so much within this way of art that the major arcana of the craft really became this major arcana of the arts. And I feel deeply connected to that space because there's so much wisdom shared among artists. Artists are the keepers of the time, of language, of our history. It's not just all in books and hard sciences. And so I just feel that deep connection and that exciting to announce that season two is coming. We're going to have a little bit of a different format, which I'm excited to share more with you as it develops, and a little bit more consistency. I do own and acknowledge my ability to have a little bit more discipline in a regular scheduled podcast and don't want to feel beholden to production as a way of the way of my character, the way of my being. So I don't want my productivity to drive my passion. And I also want to honor that it would be sweet to offer something for y'all every week. And so in doing so, I'm going to be continuing to offer my Patreon. And that's going to be expanding as it has been with emailed tarot card pulls, with extended content and a lot of video interviews with guests, with playlists that I've loved and curated, and hopefully with some surprises of things that I'm hearing that feel important in the world of your magic, in the world of your ritual ways. I honor so much of the teachers and the lineages that have brought me to this point, and I want to just say that everything that I have offered, being self-taught as well as honoring teachers, is to be cited and sorted as such. And so I hope to offer a lot of references and resources as my teachers have done before me. And I want to continue to foster that of referencing, honoring, and really sharing, as so much wisdom is meant to be just that, shared. I am your host, Taryn Burke, and you are listening to The Witch's Muse, Stories Beneath the Surface, where initiation and inspiration meet, and we explore the many facets of being human. Our work in the world matters. Let's talk about it. Thanks so much for listening to the final episode of the first season of The Witch's Muse. It's been quite a journey, and we're really excited to let you all know that we'll be back for season two. But first, we're going to take a little hiatus, hibernation, just an opportunity when we're feeling the most creative to give a chance for just things to unfold. We really want to look into the idea of a nonlinear podcast, something that doesn't need to have a specific schedule and a specific time in which we release. And we also know that for many of you, having that consistency is just because you care. So we're going to be looking at trying to post episodes more frequently, getting into, again, some really amazing offerings during December, Sag season, which is my sun month. And so we're really excited for you to stay tuned. If you haven't already, please feel free to go back and listen to all of the episodes from season one. It means so much to us if you can even take time to review or rate or share a little bit about the podcast. As many of you may know that may be following us on social media or Instagram, we are in the final stage of our chrysalis and this metamorphosis of the next iteration of Witch's Muse feels really good and has come a long way. And I feel really blessed to be able to have the space and the energy and the time to bring something that feels different than it once was, yet carries similar threads and songlines. And so this is a beauty of reverence in the past, appreciation for the present, and as always, how we transform what's to come feels really important. So please, if you have the moment to share and listen and just take some time, we'd really appreciate it. We also are going to be coming to you with a whole new website, and the website's going to be launching December 21st, which is the solstice. So please stay tuned for more info about that. If you're curious, please head over to thewitchesmuse.com and sign up for our newsletter. We are really excited to commit back to sending some amazing things and content that really focus on the modern mystic.
Wildflowers by GC. Let's be wildflowers. Let our souls be scattered by the wind. Let us grow wild and free, tall and brave, in the places that we dream, in the places where our longings are filled. Let us grow between the cracks of brokenness, and we will make everything beautiful.
We're here, our final episode, the world of season one of The Witch's Muse, and it has just unfolded in a way that, as I mentioned to Juju, just in a way that felt so just without strain, so with so fluid, so with the flow. And so I'm just so excited to welcome in the energy of the world card, the energy of kind of completion while still reveling in what is and what's to come, and just the delight that I have in offering this conversation about the world. And Juju is going to give a little info about who they are and kind of how they come to be as Juju. And we will kind of dive in from there with our questions and conversations. So thanks so much for making it, Juju, and making time in your part of the world to do so.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you. So just as you said, yeah, so my name is Quavier, and I am the creator of Juju Time. And yes, Juju, you can definitely call me that. I love it. So who am I? I'm a healer. I'm a merchant. I'm a medium. I'm clairsentient. I'm a reader. I work with energy, and I travel around the world. I procure goods and herbs and cultural knowledge. I love learning about different cultures and just soaking it in. But at the same time, which we will get into later, but me on this journey of looking at other and learning and just finding out about other people's culture, I found the way to my own, but we'll get into that. Juju Time is a space where I want to bring ancestral, cultural, and healing awareness to those that need it, you know, to those who are just wanting to learn or just wanting more information. I'm wanting to be that. So yes.
Welcome. And it's so, what are your preferred pronouns, Juju?
She, hers. She? Okay. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So she lives in Prague as well. And so we're on these different parts of the world as we speak. So for me, I'm living into 11 a.m. and Juju's settling into 8 p.m., you know. And so we're on these, I think for me, how that connects to the delight of the world feels so important and offering. And so for me, when we get into this conversation around the world, and we always begin our podcast when we're connecting with guests is, what is your soul question? And so much of that is we go in and deep pretty quickly, and it's really just so much of the conversations throughout the podcast and throughout this time, and even in connecting with the world, is it's not about having all the answers. And I think when you do, at least for myself and my experience, any amount of travel, even to another place within your state, but, you know, if you're going across and beyond, you know, the borders of Turtle Island or the Americas, anywhere beyond that, all of a sudden, you know, so much is a question. The customs are different. The cultural references are different. How people communicate are different. And so it's awesome to always start out with, what is your soul question at this time? What's calling you in? What are you curious about?
Yes. You know, that is, this question, it didn't take me long to answer. But you are totally right. And like, us not having like all of the, you know, all the questions or all the answers. My question right now is, where do I, myself and my ancestors, where do we go next? But this question has evolved, because what's very interesting, especially since we are talking about the world, I remember my original question. I was looking back in some of my old journals, just like, wow, what is my world question? And, what is my question? And I was going through my journals, looking at, you know, past Quavier, seeing inside her thoughts and her mind. And a constant question came up, a different question then. It was, how did I get here? And here I am now saying, where do we go next? So that journey from how did I get here? But it was in a sense of, like, I would say angst when I, you know, how did I get here? Oh my goodness. How, why me? How did I get? Now it's, where do we go next? Like, and adding the we with my ancestors. So yeah, that is my soul question. That is where I'm at right now in my journey, you know, and I love that I was able to use my journal to see that question evolution. So I'm just wanted to share that.
Yeah. And it's like when we're looking in the world, and me and Quavier both, we both pulled our cards from our deck. So I have one from a Stephanie Law deck, and it mixes Celtic and kind of Asian ancestry in it. And I have a very specific symbolism of the world. And we also have the traditional, or one would say the Rider-Waite symbology. And it's interesting in the Rider-Waite, because it shows this kind of dancing figure, you know, one leg crossed over, which is interestingly enough in the opposite of like the hangman symbolism, right? So the hangman flipped, and we all know and at least in some of our interpretations within the wisdom of the hangman, is this idea of shifting perspective, getting a different light on something, and speak so fully to, I mean, if I could have not found a better way to describe Sag season. So we're in Sagittarius season in this part of this time, you know, November 21st, marking that in, and we go all the way till solstice. And the question really is, you take stock, like, how did I get here? And there is a little bit of that, at least for myself. Holy shit, the last 2 weeks prior to this were like, how did I get here? You know, and it's still, there's still percolation of that. And, but where do we go next? For me, that is such this beautiful opportunity of looking at the world, because, you know, the card symbolizes balance and evolution in motion. So there's movement constantly. We've done a little bit, at least for myself, I've done a little bit of that stagnation. And I almost feel like Sagittarius is that last bit of like momentum movement before we really do settle in and settle down. You know, other astro folks, you know, I consider myself an astro, an enthusiast, someone who's so excited, a geek of any world, but we're moving in. Jupiter is out of Sagittarius, and it has been for, it's about to be moving into Capricorn. And so it's this really interesting time where this ruling sign ruling planet, excuse me, of Sagittarius is moving into this almost like Capricorn to me is like the ultimate home card. So coming at home to myself, coming at home to my work, coming at home to my gift, but with less movement. It's more of like that grounding energy. And so the world is coming at a time where we're here to kind of symbolize the momentum that we've come. And I guess the question that I have from that is, where do we, and I guess by we, I mean, where do you and your ancestors, where do you feel a desire to go next, either in reference to the world card or just where do you feel like, what is next? What feels like next to you? And it could be emotional, it could be physical, right? Like, you know, there could be so much, but what feels like, what's next, you know? And again, I want to really phrase for folks, and I think I'm going to think, and maybe you can agree with me too, is like, next doesn't necessarily mean like the future. Like, it's not trying to like look away. It's about like, what's present for you now that feels like, okay, there's momentum here. There's energy around it moving you forward.
Yeah. You are giving me so much life. I'm really having to calm down. Okay. That is a beautiful question. So, As you said, it's not about the future, but as of now, what is next? What has given me this like momentum? And for me, short story. So I found myself to my own spirituality, Black spirituality. And that's what I've been mainly focusing on for the past couple of years now. But something happened just about 2 weeks ago that sort of smacked me in the face. And I was like, oh, okay. I was in this pub, me and my friend, and we're sipping on our white wines, you know, feeling all fancy because it's white wine. And everything is going good. And then this older woman comes over to our table because we're having such a good time. And she starts talking to us. And then she says, I'm a witch. And she just continued as though it was like, it was like nothing. And I heard it, I caught it, but I wasn't sure if I should react. You know, I wasn't sure if the white wine, I didn't want to react because I know I'll be, you know, so I held back. And but the next day I was sitting there like, Quavier, you are in the foreign country and there's magic here. And you need to learn. I mean, just learn, you know, just to hear other people's journey and stories and stuff. And so to answer your questions, what's next for me is to, so I'm in Prague, Czech Republic. And Prague, I didn't even realize I didn't know when I had moved here at the time. It has a deep history in mysticism. It has a deep history in astrology. And so right now, what's next for me is to continue learning my own, you know, culture and spirituality, but to also hear others, you know, to explore the lands that I am, that because of my ancestors, I am able to walk on and opportunity to learn. I know one of my ancestors must have been a traveler because I am living life. So this, you know, that is what's next for me, is to take a moment to learn about others. That's, yeah. Right now, that is my deepest desire.
Mm. And what a way to like feel open to it after doing the work. I just want to note, like, I think it could have not been possible without the ability to do the work that you did in uncovering your Black spirituality. Like, it seems so important. And I think this is something that's interesting, at least like right now, what's happening, you know, in the Western world, or I'll just use the Americas, of like kind of new age spirituality is this conversation around cultural appropriation, what it looks like to adhere and the importance of coming back home and reclaiming our own ancestry, because I think it's human to want to belong. It's like a human feeling, the idea of not belonging. And I think there's so many places in which it's been taken away, like our feelings of belongings. Like, I mean, I can't speak for African Americans or Black folks in the U.S., but that's real, right? The ideas of belongings have been taken away. And now all of this amazing opportunity and like the idea to revel in Black spirituality has thus prepared you to even deeper travel experience and uncover all of this other cultural references. And I'm so curious about the ancestry of the traveler. You know, what is the traveler? And it's interesting when we think of traveling, you know, for myself, what comes up is one, the opportunity to be open and flexible. Like, I think flexibility, especially in reference to the world card, like so much is about you can't be rigid, because if you're rigid on it, your travel plans just aren't going to, well, first of all, they're not going to work. And so it's this idea, you know, when we look at the world, like even as it is, as a card, it's just this opportunity of how the inner and the outer worlds have finally made some amount of a connection of peace, you know, and I'll even reference that back to some of your work. It's like, I'm curious, of when you started learning about Black spirituality or your own innate Black spirituality, you know, how much inner work that took, you know, was there a lot out there in the outer worlds? Was it a lot of inner work? I mean, in terms of even like looking it up, finding research, you know, you talk about being clairsentient, I think is what you said, how that plays a part. And I'm also curious for folks that may not know, like what clairsentience is, and if you have just a way of how you have encountered clairsentience in your life. But yeah, you know, I say a lot of things there in a question, but I think really the question is, you know, how important that inner work of Black spirituality, and I'm also curious of the types of Black spirituality that you practice, because as many of us, you know, those that have listened to this podcast have at least know, there's a handful of people, even on the podcast alone, that have traveled from different sects within the diaspora, in African spiritual, and specifically like Africa. And so I'm curious also about Black spirituality and the different, like what, you know, what specific sect is one that you're claiming, or the one that you're connecting to your ancestors, and then how that has informed even your openness, right? Even your openness to areas like the Czech Republic and Prague, because I actually don't really know even like the diversity of Prague or the Czech Republic, what that looks like. Like, and so how you're still, one, to just acknowledge you're still able to see such deep reverence and wisdom in something that other folks may not even want to try to understand. Like, you're open to understanding. And again, for me, that feels like it's because you're aligning with the inner vision that it's making that outer vision more possible.
So how did I even get to this point? Well, when I was, before I moved to the Czech Republic, I was living in Colorado. And when I moved to the Czech Republic, well, to speak on the diversity, so sorry.
No, you don't. No.
Yeah. Okay. So when I first moved to the Czech Republic, I should first foremost say that it was not planned. I wouldn't say spontaneous. It was needed. I was at a very dark time. Mm. And during that dark time, I had the worst anxiety of my life, going through this crazy, not crazy, I'm sorry, but like this mental break. But when I say crazy mental break, it was just so it was so strong, you know, it was just so completely strong. And the day that I realized I needed help, I remember just saying out loud, I need to get away. I need help. I need to get away. I did find a therapist. You know, I did my due diligence on my mental health. But then within a month, out of nowhere, everything aligned with the Czech Republic, and it was bizarre. But when I moved here, now, when you move to a place within a month, and you don't even know what language they speak, I thought they used the euro. They don't even use the euro. I had no knowledge of who they were as a people. And here I am just coming through. And first off, I would say, back to like being a traveler and being flexible, as what you were saying, I would say being flexible and following your intuition. Like, that was the first time, I didn't realize it then, but now I know, the first time that I ever had to listen to my intuition so deeply. Like, when someone says, give me your money and I will help you, and you're like, oh gosh, okay, please, does this feel good? I don't, you know what, no, this doesn't feel good. But I didn't realize then that was my intuition starting to work up inside of me. And how I found my way to Black spirituality is that the Czech Republic, their history was interrupted due to communism. And so I am actually older than the Czech government. The Czech government itself and the country itself is very young. So here I am, this Black-bodied American woman. I am, many of my Czech friends, I am their first, I don't want to say Black friend, but I am their, I'm the first person that they've ever met and spoke to. So there was a lot of power and angst in that, as you can imagine, being someone's first, because everything that they knew of me was from what they saw on television.
Of course, the media-sized idea. Well, and as many of you all know, actually, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, please. No, Abun, it's okay. No, I love this conversation. What were you going to say? Yeah,
I think it's very interesting because, and I don't actually think that's just a Czech Republic thing. I think many folks, and it's sad to say, is I think I can say this so strongly with a beautiful statement. I think that Black culture is probably is popular culture. There's no like, I think throughout our society, it's just what's cool and it's the reality. And folks to think otherwise, I'm like, yeah, so many things that have come from style and cool, like literally coolness have come from rooted in Black culture. So, and on the flip side of that, there's the shadow side of the media that has said that everybody who is Black has to have this. Everybody, like the media, which is what I'm leaning into thinking the Czech Republic folks, it's like whatever's media sized, which is not at the fault of any of the folks on the media, it's really the fault of just living in the gaze of white supremacy, yeah? So it's like, we just have to notice, I mean, myself as a light-skinned person of color, like, have to, one, be so aware and acute, and also just be like, the media is just its own bag of shadow tricks and just nothing that has it. So, and what a deep... I just want to acknowledge you for how much courage it takes to do that, to break a barrier as well as to be someone's, you know, in a way someone's first. And it's like, you don't want to say like you're that person's Black friend, but also like, holy shit, that's just like, it's a lot in itself. And the wisdom, I want to honor your ancestors of the wisdom older than the Czech government. Let's just put that out there. So you're coming not just in your Black body, brown body here in the Czech Republic, but your ancestors are carrying you forward too. So you're coming with this like wisdom and this reverence that's older than the government itself. So for me, there's a lot there as well. And please continue. I'm so curious on how you navigated it.
Yes, well, I definitely, because sometimes if you, back to my question of how did I get here, it's, I was questioning, why Czech Republic? Why Prague? And you know what it is? I think it's, one, I had to I had to learn to trust my intuition, and I had to learn to stand up for myself, because I found myself in a situation where, because I was the first for many of the people around me, they would say things that would, oh, that would irk me.
Of course.
But the thing is, at the time, I didn't have the knowledge and the words and the wisdom or the connection to even explain something to them. Like, they would say something and I would be like, that's not right. And they would be like, why? And I'm like, I couldn't. And one of the questions that actually started my journey on this spirituality, and I think my ancestors, oof, you guys, was the question of, I would tell, the main question when you're a foreigner is, where are you from? And I would be like, oh my God, hi, yes, I'm from Florida, but my family's from the islands, et cetera, et cetera. And then they would look at me and they're like, no, where are you really from? And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, where's your mother from? Florida. Where's your grandmother from? Florida. I mean, the islands. Like, well, at that point, well, my family's from the islands, but I knew where they were going, and I didn't want to give them the justification to be like, oh, that's why you're brown. So I was like, Florida. So I kept saying Florida, even though eventually, you know, I knew that. I'm not going to say that wasn't true, because my family's from the islands, and as we know, the U.S. do own a few of those islands as well. So technically, I'm still. And so, but that question, I couldn't explain to them why that was. I keep someone who's saying irking.
Oh, and irking, and it makes sense. It doesn't. There's a deep part of me that also is like, and it's not your job to explain either.
Yes, yes. And how here I am, this, I don't want to say, you know, this person who had a very serious mental health crisis at the time. Mm-hmm. And not knowing, you know, it was just a lot. But that question, where are you really from? Though, don't ever ask that person, and don't ever, someone tells you where they're from, that's where they're from. I don't care what they look like. Okay. But that question, it did help me, because I had to tell myself, like, okay, how do I stand up for myself? Who am I? You know, how do I tell, which once again, you know, how do I tell those around me who I am, and speak, and, you know, use my voice to speak my truth, and the truth of, you know, like a few others, you know, or many others. I can't speak for all, but the truth of, you know, of many people, you know, that are, you know, people of color, or, you know, black and brown bodied, you know?
Truth, yeah. And your ancestors, right? Like, so much of us comes back to this idea around unity and wholeness. And when people try to, like, fragment it out, it's like kind of the opposite of the reverse. It's like this idea of, like, trying to take all of these fragmented pieces and be like, and try to separate them, right? It's try to create separateness, because then people, in my experience with this, and I've gotten, for me, the where are you from is big, and I've gotten the what are you, which is like, feels also pretty dehumanizing as well. And so those portions of us that know that when we connect to the energy of the world, and when we connect to the energy of our own intuition, which I heard a lot of what you said exactly, is there becomes, instead of this fragmented, like, how can we compartmentalize and separate it out? Because that's what's supposed to make sense to us, is no, how can we be open to this kind of beautiful ability to feel that everything is connected? And I want to be really specific on saying that I'm not trying to say that everything is connected, meaning that everything is one, because I'm not of that nature. But everything has a connective
place. So it's like this idea of like foreign, you know, foreign meaning, you know, different or out of place or out of touch. Even that word, I'm so curious, the etymology of the word foreign, of just what is that supposed to kind of relate to someone who's talking? And so I just, to me, it's super interesting because they look at you as foreigner, and then the etymology of that word, just more and more, I'm like, what does it really mean? I have big shout out to Sanyu who does, oh, so foreign, so the origin, here we go, via 1300, foreign, outside the boundaries of a country, of a person's, born in another country from Old French. Old French is foreign, strange, foreign, outer, external. So, and then medieval Latin, foreinus, on the outside, exterior, foris, outside, literally outdoors, or a door. Oh, fascinating. Related to forest, a door. So, yeah. So this, and an English spelling altered in 17th century, perhaps by the influence of reign or sovereignty, sense of alien to one's nature, not connected with extraneous. And then such a, so foreignness, it's interesting. So it's so interesting to see like how the connective history of a word has then perpetuated into this like outsider. So that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing outsider, external, you know? And so, yeah.
Oh no, that was definitely just this vibe. And even it's this claim that I was a foreigner of the country that I am from, because they kept, where are you really from? And it's like, wait, you're, just as you said, that's beautiful. Like, you are a foreigner even in the country that you are from, because in their eyes, that's not where you're from. And so I really had to sit with that and figure out like how to navigate this, you know? And through that, when I started this journey, I'm really trying, how do I make it concise?
It's okay. This podcast, folks that listen to this, and for all of you that listen, it's not necessarily about short and sweet. If that's the case, they can like, I don't know, listen, because spirit is not short and sweet. Spirit is well beyond that. So please, I mean, the ability to take up space is fully granted here. And so it's what makes the work important to me. And I think, so please.
When I started sitting with myself and trying to answer this question, because I was getting very agitated of getting this question, I was getting very agitated and also at myself for not knowing what the hell to say back. And that agitated me, because obviously with what's going on in the US right now, like, what? Kwabie, you should know how to answer this question. Oh, come on. I was so frustrated at myself, not just at them. And so sitting with myself, I started trying to research into who I am. So I, you know, the family tree, calling my mom and my grandparents, and like, yeah, so hey, tell me some stories, because I don't know. So that was how it started. It was me just asking, no, I am somebody, you know, and I am from multiple cultures. So how do I even explain that? Because see, right, what also agitated me a bit was that if I did not want to I didn't want to reject my Africanness, you know, those ancestors that went through hell. So here I am, like, trying to prove I'm American, which I don't need to prove anything. But at the same time, I'm like, by me saying that, it felt, I don't know how to explain it, but it felt off, because I'm like, I am of multiple cultures. So come on, Coivier, you got to be able to explain this, you know? So talking to my family started the journey. And then one day I was on YouTube, and then the internet was being creepy as usual, and a video pops up, and shockingly enough, it was on Wicca. Now I've never looked up, you know, well, I did look up, you know, the Harry Potter, you know, stuff like that, you know, you Harry Potter, like, YouTube videos. 'Cause yes, Slytherin,
Oh, but, okay.
Yes.
Ravenclaw. We're going to have to have a conversation. Anybody who likes Harry Potter, here you can, you know, put your house in the show note comments if you'd like.
Yes. Team so. Slytherin, you know.
Yes. Okay.
So this video pops up about Wicca. And I was like, what the hell? Now, I never searched for this. I've never in my years, I'm trying to find out about my family, but I never, you know, looked up this sort of thing, you know, because I'm from a Christian background. So why would I look that up? No, I'll go to hell, right? Anyway, so I click on this first video. I'm watching it. Some things resonated, some things didn't, but it got me curious. And then the next video, and then the next video. And then I started realizing that I wasn't seeing anyone that looked like me. I couldn't find anyone that looked like me. And that, I mean, I know that's not true, obviously, because there are others there. But at the time, I couldn't. And here I am, a Black woman in the Czech Republic. And I know I can't just go down to the bookstore, right? And I'm trying to find things online, and I'm finding things, but something felt off. Something felt off. Once again, my intuition, I've had to learn how to hone that bad boy in. And I was like, something felt off. Like, it's great reading this and these people. Yeah, it was so great, but something felt off. And that's when I, as you mentioned before, the appropriation, I started realizing how I am in the sense of the word isolated, right? I have nothing influencing me. I can't just go down to my local library and find a deck or find a book about a Black spirituality or African spirituality. And so everything that I just at the time had to just the original pieces was just online, and I wasn't resonating with it because I didn't, you know, for a second, I thought, well, this obviously isn't for me because I don't see me, you know? And I know that it's hard to explain that, but I'm pretty sure you can. Yeah.
It's real.
There's so much realness in that. I'm going to validate that. Like, there's so much realness in that. And I think the same to be said about, I mean, I'll even use the tarot. For all those that have had any conversation around tarot within the last, like, 3 to 5 years, have seen a significant change in difference between self-published tarot, independent tarot, right? We're moving and shaking. Big shout out to my friend Courtney from Dust to Onyx. Amazing. Who just released a travel deck, which you all can find now on her website. And so, but this idea, and Courtney resonates with this too, like, and I think it also is a resonance of the world. Like, if you're not seeing, you know, the external part of you or even the internal part of you, like, then there's no cohesion, then there's no connectivity. Then there's this, like you said, there's this isolation and this exile in a place that is already predominantly, you know, white, which I think even more and further enhances it. So it's like, it's interesting that the, you know, the one vessel you had is the internet. And as you mentioned, also an interesting slope, like trying to find the right resources and the sources and like getting the connectivity. And this was even 2 or 3 years ago. So much different than even now.
Oh, yes. And that's the thing. When I started getting into everything, this was 3 years ago. So this is even when, like, as you said, things have like started slowly coming to light and everything. But, So I am. I'm trying to gather myself, and in terms of like figuring out I'm like, I don't see me, but, and then, what I wanted to also mention to what you just said as well is, when you don't see yourself externally, but I also wanted to mention, and also what you're practicing, you are like, if you believe that it's evil and that what you're doing is bad, it just sort of, there's this crash within you, because you have something inside of you that you are told that, hey, this is bad. And then you're not also seeing it on the outside. So you're like, oh, maybe this is bad. Maybe this isn't for me, you know? So there is that crash. But the breakthrough for me was that when I realized that everything that I needed to know was through my ancestors, and me sitting with them and learning from them and listening to them, that is honestly, when I realized that on my own, when I got that knowledge, that is when I started finding the Black creators, the Black spiritualists. That's when I started finding, and I think, once again, isolation, and trusting myself, and flexibility, which is what the world's card also represents. I mean, it's what I needed. So as soon as I started talking to my ancestors, as soon as I put up my first ancestral altar, tears, and then a few days later, I started finding these Black creators, I started finding these Black spiritualists, these hoodoo workers, these amazing, like conjurers, and who's practicing hoodoo and African spirituality, like the traditional, all the traditions and everything. And I was like, huh, you know? And so that was my breakthrough. That was for me what was next. I just didn't realize. I was at this point, I was still asking myself, how did I get here? I was still asking myself, how did I get here? Because it was still unreal, you know? It was still unreal for me at that point. So I was still looking at the world and saying, like, how did I get here? Oh my goodness, I am this, you know, Black girl from Florida, from the islands, and I'm in the Czech Republic, finding out who I am, isolated from everyone, but finally feeling connected. How did I get here? So that is, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because it's sometimes when we get the world card, and this is dependent, again, side note for folks that do or don't read reversals. I feel a little side note on reversals. Mm-hmm. If we're going to talk about reversals. They're not necessarily the opposite of something. They're just an opportunity to explore kind of a deeper look that's not just positive, right? So it has it's both and, right? Or it's and then some. And I always, when I look at it, if I get a reversal of the world card, sometimes it's just this opportunity to say that there's no shortcuts to your spiritual path. And as much as we want this direct kind of influence or the confluence, it's almost like, the path that led us there is the path that led us there, and it'll continue on.
Yes.
And you just have to want to follow the path and put, as one would say, the effort in your case, just like the resiliency. I just want to acknowledge you again for being able to want to continue to move forward. And we haven't even explored kind of the difference of, and I'm curious of the hoodoo conjure world and the conversation around Christianity, because I'm sure that I'm curious how that's come up for you also and in that as well. And I'll ask that question next. It's just the importance, I think, for all of those that are listening, and even to connect into this time. Again, even to connect into the time of Sagittarius, like it's the time of like the true vision or the visionary or the time of deep truth. And so to give yourself spaciousness and to call upon guides, ancestors, whoever is in your house, your house or your hearth, to kind of really help steward the next chapter or help steward the next phase feels so essential, because you don't have to do it alone. I think, again, we in the West are constantly
told that so much is about doing it on your own, mm-hmm. or individuation mindset is the way you need to be.
Yes.
Or in order to be in success, you have to like work hard just on your own. And, you know, there's this thing where yes. people don't see all of the little people that help support one's path and mm-hmm. and the living and non-living and the human and non-human. So it's not just the human people that supported the path, but it's the plants, which we'll get into in a little bit as well. But mm-hmm. I'm curious for you as you went in, because we're now kind of talking a little bit about, and I'm curious for you, one, as a reader, mm-hmm. where you stand in the world of reversals, and two, how you can maybe connect your conversation around hoodoo and conjure and the conversation around Christianity, because I really think a lot of folks need to recognize that Christianity was put forth with a very specific agenda,
yep.
and a very specific mind frame, mm-hmm. and indoctrinated based on fear, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel blessed, as well as in some ways, it goes both ways, right? I feel blessed that I wasn't really raised with a very specific religious space. And I also feel that I wish I had a little bit more of that structure so that I could have done, like I could have understood what it meant to pray. And I would have, like there's certain portions that I feel like I missed in my like upbringing or being raised, because I was raised with no religion. I was raised with okay. nothing. I wasn't even raised with like, is God real or is God not real? Like,
there was no question in my household.
Yeah, right. And I had no, my mom was raised somewhat religious in the way that she was raised religious based on community. So mm-hmm. after camp, Japanese internment camp, it was very much a gathering place that felt safe for folks was to gather in the church.
Yes.
And so Japanese American churches kind of rose up everywhere. And so she was able, that's kind of her connection was to church, was to basically be with other Japanese Americans.
Beautiful.
My dad mm-hmm. was raised very, very religious. Mm-hmm. Nuns as teachers, mm-hmm. the whole, like all of the stories you hear about whatever happens in the, like, that was something that he experienced constantly.
Wow. Yes.
Whole different mindset. So I wasn't raised with faith, mm-hmm. right? Which is super interesting. Yet I come to this work, one, also through my ancestors, and the connection of what that means to really facilitate a true conversation, not necessarily asking them for something, but really being open to see what they have to say. That to me feels like such a important part about ancestral wisdom.
Yep.
Is it's really not necessarily about me asking for something, but me about listening, what's being said in the field. And then often answers are revealed, or my gifts are received or given, not necessarily in a way that I might think, but kind of in a side, like it all ends up unfolding as it should, or as it can, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm curious, you know, as we cycle into really the world, as a reader,
yes.
you know, and the reversal card, which a lot of what I'm hearing, just a lot of the story as we connect to, you know, this idea, and I'm just going to keep this thread for our readers is, who we are,
yes,
you know, how we got here, but where do we go? So the, you know, the reversal meaning really kind of lends its hand to this, like, okay, this is how we got here. It's got a little bit of that stagnation,
yes,
a little bit of this burden. It feels incomplete.
Yes.
And so yeah, I'm curious for one, a reader, feelings on reversals.
Yes.
And then yeah, the world in readings, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I remember when I first started reading for myself, because that's, I just, you know, read for myself at first, because that's how I felt comfortable. Yeah, as one should.
As one good, I don't like to use should, I've used it twice. I really, you need to read, for anyone who's like thinking about starting tarot, just do it for, it's not about, it's like so much of our performative mindsets of paradigms, we need to just not fucking adhere to, like. Just do it for you. And you're not really just doing it for you, because there's your ancestors, or you're doing it for them too, you know?
Exactly. Again, to communicate to with them. Exactly. Yes. So with reversals, I remember when I first started reading for myself, Reversal scared the living hell out of me. Sorry to put a little singing.
Sing away.
It scared the hell out of me because I was like, what does it mean? Oh my God. It's the world is backward. Does that mean that relax. I feel like my ancestors like, girl, just relax. Everything's okay. You are so excitable. So reversals for me, it depends on the situation, but for me, when I read a reversal, I read it as majority time, a time for reflection. Like there's a question that this card is needing me to answer, and that is why it is reversed. Like someone wants me to sit with this. Like if the world card is reversed, sit with that. What does that feel? You know, is there a situation where your perspectives are a little, you know, that needs a bit more analyzing, I would say. I wouldn't say changing, but I would say analyzing. Maybe you need to, is there a perspective that, or as you said earlier, the world card is also about like flexibility. What in your life right now is a little bit stagnant? What are you not bending for? We're trying to give you, because your ancestors, they want you to succeed. You know, they want you to just win. You know, they want it for you. So I take it as a time, majority of the time, I take it as a time of reflection, something that needs to just be reanalyzed within myself or my mind. Sometimes it's, you know, maybe my mind, my heart, something's going on that I just need to sit with and just be like, okay, where am I at? So that's like the reversal. That's how I, when I'm reading for myself or anyone else, that is how I would read, is because I want to take the fear out of reversals, because I think it's beautiful. I am big on self-reflection. I am the person that wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning is like, now, why did you say that, Quavier? Like, come on. Like, why did that make you feel that way? And I would lay there and be like, wow, I think that made me felt. I would. Okay, listen, I do answer myself. I don't know.
I'm in it. I'm like, yes. Right there with you. Having conversations with myself is a constant conversation. And that, I think, is with those that also are in this. I think the deepest part of that is one who is really learning to craft intuitive wisdom, because I think you're going to craft your wisdom. I think you're going to craft your intuitive knowing, because that's your intuition. And then depending on the tune that your intuition is or the volume in which it's turned up, I think when we start having deeper conversations with ourselves, it is going to be talking out loud. And I think that's our intuition that is really beginning to sound off. And I feel really big on that. I'm curious too, as we kind of like spiral in and out of, we talked about clairsentience a little bit.
Yes, the feeling. Yes, just feel. Yes. So how did I? I want to say this very carefully, because mental illness is real, and I don't want to. I sometimes get in a way that I'm a very excitable person. I'm a very excitable person. Like the littlest thing, like if you start snapping, I would double snap with you. Like you smile, I will smile. When you cry, I feel it and I just want to hold, you know? So to be clairsentient is some people will equate it to empath. And I think I will. I think I would as well. It's the ability to know via feeling, you know? And for me, my intuition is also held there as well. But it's very interesting because it's the connection between your feelings and your heart, but also your mind, and knowing that what you're feeling, now this is where I, so what you're feeling is not yours. And that separation for me was difficult because yes, I have anxiety, okay? But sometimes I would be in the most happiest mood and then all of a sudden my heart would just, and then I would be like, wait, I'm happy. Why am I feeling like this? This doesn't make any sense. It's, I'm in a crowded area. Like I'm with a bunch of people. And then all of a sudden my mood just shuts down. And I would just be like, oh, I guess now I'm depressed. And I would just be quiet. And I would be the opposite of this excitable Quavier. And it just always, I don't know, it just always confused me, you know? And then one day I, you know, this word, you know, the clairvoyance, you know, all these other Claires, sort of, hey, Claire, if you have a Claire listener, I just want to shout them out. all these other Claires started coming up. And then I saw clairsentience and I didn't understand what that meant. I sat with it. I spoke to my ancestors about it because it's one thing just to say, oh, I am this. Yeah. Okay, let's talk it out. Talk it out with your ancestors. Talk it out with your higher self. Talk it out with your angels or whoever that you are aligned with. Talk it out with them. See if that is what's going on. You know, I talked it out and I just knew just how that feeling inside of me just sometimes knows like what a vibe or situation a person may be going through. I just knew. And I was like, oh man, but what does that mean for me now? Like, okay, clairsentient. Okay, nice. A word. What does that actually even mean? And how do I control that? How do I, in a way, disassociate, like, okay, I'm feeling like this, but I'm also feeling this. This is not my own. Now, I say that very gently because I have gone to therapy. I have been on medication. I have done my due diligence in making sure that I talk to a professional just about how to handle my emotions, but also how to handle other people's emotions. You know, because I'm feeling it. I'm feeling other people's emotions. So, okay, can I please have the tools? Can you help me with the tools so that I can deal with this? And so, yeah.
That's such, I want to just, one, like anyone who is in therapy, is thinking about going to therapy, thinks therapy is something, go. I'm like in this discovery, 2020 for me, full transparency. I've done a lot of educational homework, but I think I could have maybe, I don't want to say again, there's no shortcut to a spiritual path. I couldn't say I would have quickened it. But I needed to unlearn the notion that something was wrong with me if I went to therapy. I needed to unlearn the notion that something was wrong to me. And so much, and mostly from my parents. I mean, my parent, that was a definite thing in the household. That was just what was. And so now I feel so excited. I am really excited. I'm like in the beginning stages of like talking and getting set up for an intake and all of these things. And I am just so excited because, you know, I consider myself an empath. I'm learning and I'm still learning how to not take in other people's emotions that then overrun me. And it's a difficult thing. And I think, again, it goes back to that idea of the world of trying to find this, like, the internal landscape, what's happening for me on a day-to-day and my own internal psyche and however, what type of neurological processes. I mean, some folks are neurodivergent. Like, there's so much there in that right? And talking about that and honoring that, knowing that that in itself is like a sacred gift, as well as noticing that if I am becoming or stepping into my intuition, I am gonna be able to look at people and read the field in such more of a, delicate, it becomes so much more translucent. Like, it's almost like people will put up walls, like if they've done things, and once you become more, it becomes like the translucent wall it's kind of like permeable. And so you can walk into a room and all of a sudden something feels heavy and you feel it, you know, or you can see a way someone is going through a process. I'm going to use yoga as an example. There's folks that will move in a certain way, and there's in a large public class, and there's a part of you that notices that they're not moving for themselves. They're moving for others, and it's my responsibility or opportunity to choose to like build that protective layer barrier, so I don't actually have to keep noticing or thinking or even, you know, dealing with that. I wrote something on IG saying your energy introduces you before you do, and it's just the real. It's just what's true, and I think when we go back to the energy of the world and we go back to this energy of how you're introducing yourself energetically, you know, just as much as how you introduce yourself in like the physical, right, in the external, is so important. And yeah, what rituals or what practices, and it's interesting, I actually feel like I've talked about this at another episode, but again, like how we navigate the inner and outer landscape and what tools you feel like you've cultivated to help with that.
Okay. Well, I'll start somewhat at the beginning. When I had my mental breakdown, it was very bad. I'm talking hurt myself type of way. I still remember that so clearly. I was on the floor, both of my hands were at the side of my head. I'm on the ground. I feel like I'm screaming, but nothing's coming out, and they're just tears. It was the worst I've had ever experienced. What I'm gonna say is basically follow what feels right for you. Because in that moment, and with everything that we both do, it sounds fanciful, but I'm telling you, in that moment, there was something inside of me and then in my brain, and I heard a voice inside myself saying, go to the water. You are okay. We have you. Go to the water. Now, I'm home inside of my apartment. I'm like, what do you mean? Okay. But is it, everything's okay. Go to the water. And so I went into my shower and I just basically followed exactly what was I was feeling and hearing inside myself to do. And so from then on out, without me knowing it, before I got on this journey of Black spirituality, that became a ritual. When I started feeling overwhelmed, not realizing that, one, it was my own emotions, but also other people's emotions as well, that became a ritual of Kwavye, find water. Whether I'm drinking it, whether I'm near it, whether I'm hearing it, if I have the ability to jump in the shower or jump in a bath, oh man. And that in itself, and just sitting there and I'm just imagining, and I didn't realize what I was doing then, but imagining it all just coating me and protecting me and understanding me. Because when you go through anxiety, when you're feeling all these emotions of yourself and everyone else around you, you feel like no one understands and no one hears you. And it's so frustrating because even if you try and explain it to somebody, it sounds like nonsense most of the time, not all the time, you know. Especially for myself, I didn't know where my anxiety was stemming from. That's what I mean. I didn't know where my anxiety was stemming from. So because of that, it sounded like nonsense to other people listening to me. And so for some reason, going to the water or just standing in the shower and just letting it just wash all over me, I felt understood, you know? So for those like myself and like yourself, I would say the first ritual is do what feels good, you know, do what brings you comfort. Sometimes it's, you know, maybe it's a song. Maybe it's a song that you hear and it just lulls this energy inside of you for a second. So you can just hear yourself for just a brief second, or maybe it's water, or maybe it's cooking, maybe it's writing. Some people are avid journalers and they just write. You write until your hand falls off. You write until that last sentence is period. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's what I'm feeling, you know? For me, it was water. As I was getting into my spiritual practice and figuring out, who are you? I started combining the ritual of water to the ritual of candle, because candles is how I actually have a candle right here for my aunt. I have a glass of water and my candle. Yes. Right next to me. And it was a way from connecting to my ancestors is also a ritual practice that anybody can do, because they understand and they want to listen. They are listening, you know? So just speak, you know? Give it to them, you know? They understand. And so that's one ritual that definitely, of course, there are, if you are through working with your ancestors, if you are called to a deeper ritual that involves herbs or that involves saying something special, you will know and you will, do. Salt, as my journey progresses, is now becoming a thing that I just love. I'm like, whoop, salt, no, you know, but I'm not just throwing it, but, you know, saying my prayer and just, you know, creating this space, you know, having a sacred space, a space within your home that is just, that fills you, you know, inside. You know, for some people, it's their bed. Hey, some people, it's a kitchen. Some people, it's their workspace where their ancestor altar is. For me, that's mine. That in the bed, because I do a lot of thinking laying in the bed. So
I love it. So the bed is a vessel.
Yes, it is. So sleep, dreaming, girl. Let's not even.
Oh, we could talk about that. That's a whole other time.
Yes. I won't even. But
I wanna find us in this place, like with the importance of ritual. And we come through this with, like, there's threads throughout this. It's so beautiful because there's so many threads of what you said that are threads that other folks have mentioned. The importance of a bath, of water, of finding bodies of water, the importance of blessing yourself, candle magic, which I'd love to talk more about in another landscape, another time. Maybe, you know, we do something through another lens. Candle magic is huge for me. I'm very big into candle magic, especially writing invocations, intentions, wishes, spells on candles. It's big for me. And the power of knowing that doing what feels good. And I think that's just something that we have to keep coming home to, is doing what feels good. Because that's really what we're getting at with the world, with this like last episode of the season. It's like I'm at a point right now where I feel like all of the things that I've done, all of the work that I've put in, all of the stuff that I've done is like coming together full circle. You know, all of the, you know, the traveling across places and literally like cosmic traveling or just traveling to places, you know, has brought, there's been this new opportunity of world and information opening up to me, you know, and I feel that the opportunities that I have available to me in this moment are just infinite. And I think we get to the card of the world, and I'd love to hear you because we did the reversal, but we get to the upright meaning of the card, and it's the, we're the last part of our journey. We've come from the Fool. We have come to, you know, through the trials and tribulations of the rest of the arcana, all of the lessons that we've learned. And I'm curious for you on what, you know, as we come to this of like the world card in its fullness and its full embodied state means for you. And then as you're moving forward, you know, what are ways that, you know, people can connect more deeply with what your world offerings are? Like, I'm so curious about as we move forward to the apothecary and as we talk about the bazaar and as we talk about these and just speaking them into being. Because if anybody in this podcast knows, so much of spells are speaking into being what it is that we want, you know? And so, the fullness of the world card for you. So the world as its whole embodied self.
Yes. So the world card for me and the healing that it provides, I saw this somewhere online, and it connects to the Sagittarius season as well. But this card and this time, it inspires you and it encourages you to live with an expansive, optimistic curiosity. You know, and this for me connects to the world card because at this point, at this time of, you know, of the journey, you've just ended a cycle. You've just rediscovered something new or whatever phase that you're going through. But see, for me, when you end a cycle, you're also beginning it again. Okay. So in a sense, you are becoming the Fool all over again. But the difference this time is that you are now bringing to your next phase of life a whole new sense of wisdom and more lessons that you need to learn, you know? What I also like about the world card, I don't know if you're also into like numerology a little bit.
Yeah, we could go that way. I'm down.
Well, just 21, you know, and it's three, you know, three is a number of creation, number of community, number of just coming together. The triangle is one of the most strongest shapes. It has three sides. When it's the prism, it has four at the bottom. Girl, stop it. we can keep going. But you are at that creative community coming together part, but you're also going into your next journey, and the next journey is unknown. But you have gained so much wisdom, you know, from all the other phases that you had to go through from 0 to 21 from the major arcana. It's all these lessons that you've learned, and now you are honoring these new lessons that are going to be coming like your way. The idea would be to honor them as gifts, you know, because at this point you understand that they are gifts and that there, that it has meaning, it has perspective that you may not be able to see right now, but throughout your journey, you will get there. So
That's such a honor your lessons as gifts. There's like so much in that. And that to me feels like Sag season there of just like honoring your lessons as deep gifts. I mean, and also we're in this kind of season, I would say, of giving, of gifting, of what it is to be in gratitude. And so to acknowledge that meaning of like real deep gifts and celebrate it. And yeah, I'm so excited as your gifts are coming in. And I would love, as we come through, yeah, like what's coming up for Juju Time? Ways folks can find you?
Yes, yes. Well, yeah. I do have an Instagram. It's Juju Time, and it's time spelled like the herb. and my website is now up. I've been giving, like readings to very few people close to me. But I now feel called to those that are called my way, of course, because there's so many gifted people out there, and each reader, each individual have something to say to you, So my website is jujutime.com, but Juju Time itself, though, is not just a place where people can get just healing and awareness on their their path that they need to be on, and no guidance that they need to hear from someone else, whatnot. But the bazaar and the apothecary is definitely going to be a huge factor into being for the people, basically. the bazaar is, I have this gift and I have this ability to travel around the world and find these unique, beautiful pieces that I love for myself, but deep down I know that they're not for me. And so, for example, I just, I randomly walked into this old antique store, and I found all of these old, like, skeleton keys. And I was like, stop it. Are you kidding me? I found a collection plate, which, I mean, the rituals that you can do on that. It's just, and I want them for myself, but that ain't for you. No, that is. So I want to be of service to other people and provide them with the tools that they need to connect with their ancestors and their higher self. The apothecary, when it's all up and running, will be definitely a place to get, special herbs that, once again, I have the privilege of even having access to. Like, it blows my mind, and I want to share it because it's so beautiful, and that is what Juju Time. I want Juju Time to be Juju Time is a place, as I said, ancestral, cultural, and healing awareness. It's a place so that you can feel connected and, find what you need. And so, yes.
I'm so excited. So connect with Juju over Instagram. It's at Juju Time, like the herb, and she's doing readings. It's such a beautiful thing because I've been a reader forever and have done the same thing where I haven't given my readings openly or publicly, but my books are going to be full open. So you have two readers here that are ready for 2020 to serve in that way. So please feel free to connect with us. Closing it out, since we started with a poem, we'll probably end with a poem, and I will end with the poem that I actually got kind of not influenced by, but it was a huge way of like when I recognized that this work was like the work that I needed to do. And it's a poem by William Stafford, and it's called How I Met My Muse, for the Witch's Muse. So How I Met My Muse. I glanced at her and took my glasses off. They were still singing. They buzzed like a locust on the coffee table and then ceased. Her voice belled forth and the sunlight bent. I felt the ceiling arch and I knew that nails up there took a new grip on whatever they touched. I am your own way,
of looking at things, she said. When you allow me to live with you, every glance at the world around you will be a sort of salvation. And I took her hand.
Support for The Witch's Muse can be found through Patreon/The Witch's Muse. Have an opportunity to dive into extended content, guided visualizations, monthly question and answers, and a look behind what it takes to make The Witch's Muse. Any tier is welcome, from your cup of compassion all the way to your creatrix community. So find something for yourself or for a friend. Look forward to seeing you on there. Patreon.com/The Witch's Muse. If you like what you hear, please go ahead, subscribe, rate, and review to The Witch's Muse, and make sure to tell your friends. Thanks so much. Have an awesome, awesome.